another week where I say gospel of the Lord, and I'm not so sure I want to say thanks be to God. This week we get this cruel master who harvests other people's fields and steals where he did not plant. This poor slave who is so afraid of his master's wrath that he self-fulfills his own prophecy by burying his portion and then telling this master about his reputation. And then he's thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable makes me wince. I feel like it feeds into all sorts of bad theology, prosperity, gospel stuff, where, like, good things will happen to you if you keep doing all the right things, and a threat of doing life a certain way, or it'll lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Life does not work that way. Jesus knows that. So why? Even the disciples must have winced, because the practices, the business practices that Jesus talks about here, were shady to them too. This master aggressively seeks profit to expand his estate and take whatever he can, wherever he can, to make a profit. And that line about investing funds with the bankers to gain interest, that was forbidden in the Torah. This character seems more like a mob boss than a loving God. And this was not just a squabble over 20 bucks. One talent equaled 15 to 20 years of wages for the average worker in those days. This is an astronomical sum of money. In the United States today, the average salary is about 60K. So 5 talents would be equivalent to something on the order of $5 million. 2 talents, 2 million. 1 talent, 1 million. These are wild amounts of money. And so I don't blame this third slave for bearing the money. In fact, this was actually an okay practice to do back in the day. I, too, am a pretty risk-averse person. I've only broken one bone in my body, and it was falling off of my stoop, attempting to walk the dog. And then I broke it again in the same spot, doing the same thing. My retirement investments are in social purpose funds, but they are very conservative. When I go for a hike, I make sure to stay on the path, because you don't want to get poison ivy. Even in board games, I play it safe, and I usually lose. This week, the Valentis have decided to travel to Ohio for Thanksgiving to visit my parents. And I cannot tell you how much sleep I have lost over the many unknowns. I have heard the holiday traffic around here is legendary. I'm worried that baby Phoebe is just going to scream at us the whole way. I thought it was going to be 6 hours. It's more like 8. And who knows, with this legendary traffic, it could be like 20, right? Not to mention, and this was a fact that I remembered this week, my family has not gathered for Thanksgiving since I was in high school. High school. This could get really ugly. I have told Mike on several occasions that I regret suggesting we go. And so this week I really resonate with this third slave and have similarly contemplated digging myself into a hole of blankets and staying in the parsonage all week. It's the safest option. And yet perhaps while it's the least risky, this might not be the most life-giving option. This parable is a part of the last three stories that Jesus tells his disciples before the whole dying on a cross thing. Last week, we heard the first one about those bridesmaids, where the message is, stay awake. Please don't fall asleep while you wait for me to come back. That final story is about the sheep and the goats, with a deeper invitation to live compassionately toward everybody, because you just don't know when you're going to meet Jesus. And that when you do, you extend care. So this story is sandwiched in between these two. And I wonder if the message is, as you see all these terrible things happen soon, while you wait for Jesus to rise from the dead, how can you live bravely in the middle? Knowing that if this is how a terrible mob boss would treat you, how much more would our great God of love celebrate your efforts? Brené Brown writes that there are too many people in the world today who decide to live disappointed rather than risk feeling disappointed. This can take shape of numbing, foreboding joy, being cynical or critical, or just really never fully engaging. She writes that sometimes she is in one of those moods where she just wants to pull the covers over her head and stay in bed. And there were many of those days during the pandemic where she promised herself that she was going to get less excited about things so she would feel less disappointed. And then she remembered this interview she did, where she interviewed this man in his 60s. And he said, "I used to think the best way to go through life was to expect the worst. That way, if it happened, you were prepared, and if it didn't happen, you were pleasantly surprised. And then I was in a car accident and my wife was killed. Needless to say, expecting the worst didn't prepare me at all. And worse, I still grieve for all those wonderful moments we shared that I didn't fully enjoy. My commitment to her is to fully enjoy every moment now. I just wish she was here now that I know how to do that." I wonder, in this parable, what would have happened to that third slave if he decided to take a risk? He risked disappointment, invested his million, and then would fail, losing it all. Perhaps this master would have said, "Thank you for trying. Here's another million. Try again. Enter into the joy of your master." What if this parable is here to remind us that we can try new things and take risks and live bravely? It's a deeply vulnerable thing to do, but we can do so knowing that God has our back. For as we dabble in God's risky business of being in relationship with one another, investing in radical love and costly forgiveness and extravagance abundance, who knows? We may be disappointed, or we could be amazingly surprised by the return. Like the poet Mary Oliver reminds us, what are we going to do with our one wild and precious life? For what we choose to do with our life matters. It's a gift from God worth millions. Circling back to the looming week before us, I don't know what this upcoming holiday holds for you. Whether you are picking up a turkey breast from Giant and will watch the Macy's Day Parade from the comfort of your living room, or if you two are going to brave traffic and attempt to be in community with family you haven't seen since last Thanksgiving, or longer. But no matter what the week holds for you, know that your pastor is praying for you. I invite you to dive deep and embrace the unknowns with all the risks they entail. Allow yourself to even be a little excited about the week. Embrace the different schedule. Do something courageous, whatever that looks like for you. And trust that God is going to be with you, cheering you on. Remember that some things are indeed worth the risk, even if we may be disappointed. And no matter at the end of the day, we all get to eat pie. Amen. Thanks be to God.